Let us pray. Loving God, your passion for the world is infinite. Jesus bore the cross in the power of your love and calls us to do the same. Be our faith and courage. Be our love. Speak to us, we who cling to life, and call us to life. Amen. A reading from Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall call her Sarai. You shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. The word of life. A reading from Romans. Brothers and sisters, we are not defined by our flesh. To live as if we were merely self-contained bodies, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the desire simply to be a body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 8th chapter. Jesus began to teach the disciples that the human one must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders and the scribes and the chief priests and be killed. And then, after 3 days, be raised again. Well, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus, turning and seeing the disciples, rebuked Peter. He said, Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not of divine things, but of human things. And then he gathered all the people with the disciples. And he said, If anyone wants to become one of my followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and come with me. Those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. What good will it do you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What would you give in exchange for being truly alive. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was in the first year of seminary back in 1976, there was a day when there were about a dozen of us watching a movie about the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. And it was a terrible movie. The acting was bad. The script was awful. The props were ridiculous. The costumes were just hilarious. And the music, oh my gosh. Jesus, it turns out, wasn't crucified by the Roman Empire. He was crucified by the Philharmonic. It was just laughable. And this is a room full of about a dozen seminary students who are full of all their biblical knowledge and aware of how many times this story totally departed from the biblical story in order to make some wacky, totally inappropriate theological point. So basically, we were all just sitting there laughing at the story of Jesus dying. And at one point, I thought about the actor who was playing Jesus. And I wondered, did he know that this was a terrible movie? Did he just sort of blindly say, oh, this looks like a great script, I want to do that? Or, in fact, did he think, oh man, what a stinker. I can't believe I'm so desperate that I have to take this job and play Jesus in this terrible movie. I wonder if he was so desperate that he had to. And then I watched Jesus staggering up the Via Dolorosa with this big, huge styrofoam cross. And it really hit me. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to enter in to all that suffering. It's not like he was God's slave. It wasn't like he was under orders. He wasn't a prisoner. He wasn't just a pawn. He chose to do that. He chose, as if he looked at the scripts that we write and he said to himself, this is a terrible movie. You guys are so mean to each other. You're so awful. Why would I want to do that? But he loved us so much that he chose to enter in to our awful story and walk along in our suffering with us. When Jesus says, take up your cross, follow me, there's almost an infinite number of things that that means. And over the next few weeks of Lent, every week, the gospel lesson is going to continually bring us back to look at the cross and what it means. But there is at least this that it means. When Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and come with me, part of what he means is, be willing to enter into the suffering of the world. A lot of people use that phrase, to take up your cross, as if it means that you're supposed to be a certain kind of evangelist and go out and convince people that your religion is right and theirs is wrong. For some people, you know, we use that phrase, oh yeah, she's my cross to bear, meaning she's an annoyance. I don't think Jesus was annoyed. I don't think that's what this is about. I think it's about entering the suffering of the world, reaching out to those who are hurting because you care, even though you don't have to. God will love you anyway. And Jesus knows how hard that is. He's gone through this suffering himself. And so he knows that it begins with this. Deny yourself. Because in fact, we really don't like suffering. We don't even like our own, let alone everybody else's. And we tend to wear these little astronaut suits that protect us from all the suffering we can protect ourselves from. And sometimes, when we are in a bad mood, it's because our protection against suffering is wearing down. And we don't know what to do about that. And Jesus says, here's what to do about it. Take that astronaut suit off and throw it away. Enter willingly into the suffering of the world. Then it won't upset you. Because you're doing it on purpose. But that's a tough ask, isn't it? Because what that means is that my suffering suddenly doesn't matter anymore. It becomes small in comparison with the world's suffering. That little astronaut suit has got to go. So there are times when things don't go my way, and I'm not right, and I want to make it right, and I want to make myself right, and I want to make myself get my way. And Jesus says, leave it behind. Lord knows there are a lot of things going on right now in the world, in this church, in our lives, that aren't going the way we want them to. Jesus says, yeah, let it go. There are times when I experience loss or change. There's something that I used to rely on and I loved it and I don't get it anymore. And it makes me mad or it makes me afraid and I'm not sure about the unknown and I react in all sorts of emotional ways. And Jesus says, lay that burden down. Just leave it behind. We've got some real suffering to deal with here. There are times when I look at that suffering and I think I'm too small and those problems are too big and I can't make a real difference and I don't know what to do. And Jesus says, just drop it. Just let it go. It doesn't matter. Come with me. And we take up the weight of the cross, not some cheesy styrofoam cross, but the actual suffering of the real world. And it's not cheesy, and it's also not gruesome. As awful as Jesus' suffering was, it wasn't annoying. He didn't want it some other way. He chose that, even though he didn't have to. And we discover that when we really set aside our own little suffering and take on the suffering of the whole world with Jesus and reach out to those people around us who are really hurting, it doesn't hurt in the same way. Because it's Jesus who's actually carrying the weight. We're just kind of walking along with Jesus. He didn't say take up your cross and go out there. He said take up your cross and come with me. So you look around at the people in this congregation. There's probably somebody sitting here that you don't know about who has spent a lot of time and energy caring for a family member who's going through a real hard time, maybe dealing with some physical or mental illness. And you wouldn't have to do that. But you do it because you love them, because you care. And as you look around, you see people in this church doing that, and it's not cheesy and it's not gruesome. It's beautiful. During Lent, the Sunday school kids are going to do this wonderful thing for the Imagine No Malaria project. They're going to take home these little coin folders. You know, they make me think of 1957. And I think the last one was printed in 1957. They look like it. This little old-fashioned thing. And they take it home, and every day they put in the little slot one quarter. A quarter! You can't even buy anything for four quarters. Every day they'll put in one quarter, and at the end of the 40 days of Lent, they'll have all of $10. And that will save somebody's life. In fact, the people who are calculating it, the people who figure out how much money the United Methodist Church has spent so far on malaria programs in Africa, and calculating the rate of death from malaria that's gone down, and actually $10 will save more than a life. And these kids are doing that one quarter at a time. That's not cheesy. And it's not gruesome. It's beautiful. You look at the people in this church who do the things they do out in the world, who care for people who are hurting in all the ways that they do. And you notice when Betsy Comstock gets up and talks about the hungry, when Channing Wade gets up and talks about the homeless, it doesn't make them miserable. It makes them beautiful. You watch Dot Wurst, who carries with her the pain of the homeless. It's not cheesy. It's not gruesome. It's beautiful. Because besides hearing this call to the cross that we're going to hear week after week all during Lent, there's this sort of
sandwich. There's the layer of the cross, but there's also the layer of the covenant. You heard Susan read about that. God says to Abram, I'm going to be with you. This is going to be all right. There is this promise of this absolute, infinite, unconditional love. And God says, you can wade into the deepest suffering in the world, and I will be with you. And it will be all right. In fact, even in the midst of that suffering, it will be beautiful. And you might find yourself like I did those many years ago in 1976 at the edge of this crowd of people, and they're throwing popcorn at the screen and they're laughing. And I'm sitting over on the side with my face up against the wall, turned away, hoping that they don't notice that I'm weeping. Because God wouldn't have to have done that. But God walks with us in our suffering, constantly carrying the weight of that suffering and whispering in our ears, I've got it. I'm with you. This is good. It's in the courage of that covenant that we hear Jesus call. Deny ourselves, take up that cross, and go with Him. Will you pray with me? God, we hold in our hearts the suffering of the world with courage for love of the one who holds our suffering in His heart. Give us faith to go with Him. God, we thank you for your love and your presence. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.